William DeAndrea studies how Earth's climate changes over time. In an article just published in the journal Geology, the associate professor at Columbia University's Lamont-Doherty Earth Observatory charts 1,800 years of Arctic climate history based on his analysis of sediment from a lake in the Norwegian archipelago of Svalbard.
This location hasn't been as warm in the last 1,800 years as it has been for the last two decades.
DeAndrea and his colleagues reconstructed that climate history by examining traces of algae in the organic matter and minerals that settled into the Arctic lake bottom over the millennia. Scientists know that algae living in cooler water produce lots of unsaturated fats. In warmer water, they produce less. By measuring the fat content in algae retrieved in lake bottom core samples, DeAndrea was able to track the Earth's temperature over thousands of years.
So what we have are little thermometers. These algae are producing thermometers and dropping them into the sediment and leaving them behind.
DeAndrea says local air temperature records for the last 100 years match what he found in the lake bottom sediment for the same period. He says the unique algae signatures can help scientists look into the past to see how Earth's climate system changes over time.
And once we understand that, we get a better handle on how it does behave and why it responds in certain ways to different types of forcing, whether those forcing mechanisms are based on the sun's output, or volcanic eruptions, or the level of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere.
DeAndrea says a clear picture of our climate history is essential to making accurate projections of our climate future. A second new study, published in the journal Nature Climate Change, looks at how fish are responding to rising ocean temperatures. Lead author William Chung and colleagues at the University of British Columbia's Fisheries Center use computer models to project climate-induced physical changes in more than 600 species of fish.
What we find is that across different ocean basins, meaning Pacific, Indian, or Atlantic oceans, we are seeing on average around 14% to 24% reduction in maximum body size of the fish species that we investigated by 2050 relative to now.
As the atmosphere is warmed by heat-trapping emissions from fossil-fueled power plants, buildings, and automobiles, so too is the ocean. And in a warmer ocean, Chung says, there is less dissolved oxygen available to fish who need it for normal growth.
So at some point, the fish will stop growing because they just cannot get sufficient oxygen to support growth in addition to maintaining their normal body function.
The study is the first to predict that a warmer ocean could mean smaller fish in the decades ahead. It also suggests that global warming may exacerbate the damage to fish populations already being done through overfishing, pollution, and habitat loss.
If you look at the fish population that is already depleted, that their critical habitats are deteriorated, they have a smaller capacities to respond to climate change compared to a fish populations that are still abundant or that they are well managed and in good conditions. So we need to manage our marine ecosystems effectively and well.
Chung says the study concludes that failure to curb climate-changing greenhouse gas emissions could further risk damage to marine ecosystems, global fisheries, and an essential source of the world's food. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.